Let's look at some scripture together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. You probably, as the evening goes on, you will find it helpful, I would imagine, to have a Bible available. So if you want to grab Bibles, please do. I will pause for a moment or two. Tonight's a sharing and prayer night, and we're going to take a good time after this short word to have a good think about some of the ways that we've experienced God and God's love, and we'll use that then as to feedback to share some stuff a little bit later and to pray a bit together. So please just be keeping thinking as we're going through it, the things which spark off in your head that you think that would be lovely to share with my brothers and sisters here to bless them, and make a note of it so when we get to that point it's not lost, because there are always lots of good stories. Right, let's read. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There will be two areas, one area particularly where I want to focus tonight. But before we do that, let me just do some 30-second points, just so that some of the bits of this passage are in place before we get to that core. So first of all, it starts off with "for this reason." For what reason? Well, if you read the passage, verses 1 to 13, you see some things about Paul. Verse 4 is Paul's insight into the mystery of Christ. Paul's had this fantastic insight that Jews and Gentiles are fellow heirs with Christ, and this is all made possible through Jesus. And in verse 10, that this wisdom has been made known through the church. It's the church that embodies that wisdom, that Jews and Gentiles together make this mystery known, as that fellowship is seen, really seen, in practice. And so verse 13, they must not lose heart. And because they must lose heart, therefore they've got to pray. If they lose heart, the church doesn't exist. If the church doesn't exist, then we don't see this mystery revealed. So Paul is dead keen that the Christians should stay encouraged. You want to stay encouraged? Then get to grips with the verse we're going to do tonight. That's how we get to stay encouraged. Second 30-second sermon, every family in heaven and earth derives its name. That's Paul just underlining the fact that there's one God, one Father. We're one people, we all look to the same God. He's looking for us all. And it's not surprising that there's this one covenant to come into. Out of his glorious riches, or other translations, according to his riches. The way God blesses us, and the God we're praying to, is a stupendously rich God. And it's according to his riches that he blesses us. And, you know, that's important to know, isn't it? Because if you ask me for a Christmas present, you might get something different from if you ask Bill Gates for a Christmas present. And it's just the way it is. And then he has got strengthen you. And I just want you to be very careful about what it's saying there. We can often jump, what do I need power for? And we can think, well, I need power for all kinds of different things in life. But actually here, it's the power to have Christ in our hearts so we can comprehend the love of Christ. We need power to comprehend the love of Christ. We had that lovely time with that song at the end there where it went much quieter, and it was very much a prayer, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. There are some things that cannot be done for you or for me or to me or to you by another human being. There's some things we cannot do, and to know the love of God, we need the power of Christ to make that possible. And that's why it's great to put this in a prayer evening like this, because we need to be asking for the power of Jesus if we're to start to comprehend the love of Jesus. Okay, so those are my little short points that I hope will put some of the rest in context. As you come to a really familiar passage like this, it's daunting. There are a number of things in a preacher's sort of cycle that do this. Christmas does it to you every year, and Easter does generally, that you have things you come across and you have to go back to the same passages again. And this sort of passage is a passage you come across a lot, because it's just such a beautiful, beautiful passage. And but it's also a passage which says, I'm going to tell you something which is indescribable. And then someone like me is supposed to stand up and speak about it. and that's just underlining the fact that actually it's something I can't do for you and I can't do for myself, that I have to ask God to do it for me and for you and etc. But the wonderful thing about these sort of passages is they always have something a little bit new that hits you when you study them. And what's hit me this time is just what a 3D picture that Paul has of the love of Christ. Just sometimes you read these texts and you suddenly think, Paul could really feel it, couldn't he? He had a kind of, you could almost see as he's writing, he could feel there was a height and a length and a breadth and a depth to this love. It was something there. You know, it was almost like it was concrete. It was almost like, you know, for him, it wasn't love of Christ like that. It was a love of Christ much more like that. You know, it was a 3D love he could actually feel and experience. And that clearly propelled him to what he did. And then I started to muse, well, what would the three dimensions be if I wanted to put labels on the dimensions of the love of Christ? What would those dimensions be? And this is purely out of my own skull and spirit. You may put different things on those dimensions. Paul doesn't tell us what those dimensions are. All these things I'm going to put on up here, though, are things which you can find elsewhere in Ephesians and elsewhere in the writings of Paul that I don't think he would be scandalized by. But so the x-axis up, you know, how we embrace God's glory. I don't know what are the experiences you've had in your life when you felt you've kind of touched God's glory or God's glory has touched you? What are the moments when your spirit's gone, woo, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? How we do? You know, those points when God seems so close to us and we've kind of got a little bit of a glimpse of, that's God. That's God. He's bigger than I'd thought. And his goodness is bigger than I thought. And his love for me is bigger than I thought. And, you know, you just somehow get sucked up into that. And obviously Paul's got a great deal to say about in Ephesians about already being in Christ and being seated with Christ. That place we're already there in glory in the spiritual sense. Staying with the x-axis, he speaks about height and depth, doesn't he? And the depth of my sin and brokenness. And you go to the beginning of chapter 2 and where Paul reflects on being dead in his trespasses and sins. And God reaches right down to the bottom of our sin and brokenness. And I wonder what your experience, what my experience is of those points when I've really experienced God's forgiveness and I've felt God touch areas that I'm ashamed of. And God said, well, you're right to be ashamed, but I accept you and I forgive you and we can start you again. I wonder what your experiences are there. Those areas where you feel there's some very dark place somewhere deep down in your soul and the love of Christ has touched there. Precious times. What about the width? And maybe it's too obvious, but just that the love of God reaching from me to others and from others to me. Man, I've experienced God's love from other people. God's love through other people so much in my life. Have you felt the love of God through other people in your life? Would you start to enumerate some of those experiences in your head of that person and that way? And you just said, that is God's goodness to me. God has been good to me through another person. And there's points where you think, well, I'm pray God that some of those things that I've been moved to do, have people have felt that was God's goodness that I was able to bring to them. And the length, well, that for me went to that idea of constant through time, that God's love has always been there and always will be there, and will keep on going and going and going, and will never come to an end. And again, Paul talks about the way God has good deeds which he's prepared for us in advance to do there in Ephesians, that from eternity God had good things for us to do, and his love was going to be working in our lives to that end. And it talks about to the praise of his glory. So the things that we're doing and building will be to the praise of the love of God into eternity as well. And there's that long sense of God's love. And I wonder how the length of God's love has been experienced by you through your life. Just that, perhaps you've looked back and you thought, well, at that point, I just didn't understand that. But as I've gone on and I look back and I think, that was God's love for me. God protected me from that. God stopped me doing something that I would have done. God opened up an opportunity there that I didn't understand, but now I understand it. And that was a fantastic opportunity. And you see that love kind of persists over time. Yeah? What would your three dimensions be that you'd put on height, depth, and length and breadth that Paul speaks about? To know, and you've got that sense of Paul just sort of almost touching out and feeling that he's in a space of God's love, the love of Christ. And it's a fabulous feeling, isn't it? So what we're going to do is I'm going to put a diagram very similar to that on that backboard, and I've got post-it notes here, and I'm going to ask you to just take some post-it notes and start putting on the four dimensions, things you want to put, just a little phrase about the way God has touched you in those different areas, yeah? And then as we go on, we can read what other people put and be blessed, and then some of us can actually vocalize that later. Does that make sense? But at least just take the time to sit and remember the different ways that God has shown you his love. Your own experience of how he's shown you his love. And be praying, God, show me more of your love so that you can be strong in him. Let's very, very quickly just... This refers to this board here. Go to the last few verses, couple of verses of this chapter, where Paul talks about asking. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We've already seen his love for us, and now we see that God is able. God has the power to do it. And that's a God to pray to, isn't it? If he's able but doesn't have the intention for our good, then you wouldn't pray for him. And if he has intention for our good but hasn't able, then what's the point of praying to him? But he is both has the intention of our good and he's able, and therefore we pray. But I want to ask you a question. Is it supplication or intercession? In case I'm just using silly words there, which I probably am, supplication is far more the things you're doing for yourself. A supplicant is somebody who asks for themselves, but you intercede on behalf of somebody else. So supplication is prayer for yourself. Intercession is prayer for somebody else. Is this passage about supplication or intercession, about praying for yourself or somebody else? What do you think? That you may know the love of Christ. Explain.
Well, you see, because at the end, you see, verse 20 of this, you know, he wants us to experience, you see, you know, the height, length, and the breadth of the love of God, you know, for ourselves.
Yeah.
But yet, he, you see, is still, you know, is actually praying that on our behalf. So therefore, he isn't, you know, interceding.
Okay, so he's interceding for us on that one as well.
Well, yes, but still, but in one sense, I mean. So that we can,
yeah.
Shall shall I say, you know, get into supplication for ourselves as
well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's really sort of neither wholly one nor wholly the other.
Well, actually, I agree with you, but for a slightly different reason. And I agree with you because remember where we came from. The point is that Paul wants the church to stay strong. And when we individually are strong in our knowledge of the love of God, then we stay strong as a church. And then the world sees the love of God and the world is blessed. This board is about your board for post-its about prayer. Able. God is able. A God who's able to answer. And you might want to put some prayers up here to do with your desire for the love of God or for the love of God to be poured out in this church, understand the love of God. But please feel free to extend that. Anything else you want to pray for. And I would like would somebody be willing to keep a note of what's being asked for prayer for whoever. So it's not restricted just to this one prayer. And then later in the service, just a few minutes for you to summarise that the prayers here in a prayer of intercession on behalf of all this which is up here. Somebody willing to keep a note on this board, read the board, what people put up here, and request prayer for, and pray it for us. Anyone? Thank you. Lovely. Okay, so there's a board there which is going to be looking at... Okay, well, that's just what I've said. The board at the back will have those four dimensions, and this board at the front is your prayer requests. Yep, that makes sense. And we're going to take a good bit of time on this, so you've got time to spend some time quietly with God. And if you just need to sit there and say, God, at the moment I don't know much about your love, I don't feel it, and you want to just pray for the love of God in your life, do that. But if you can start putting post-it notes up so other people can be blessed by what you've already experienced, do that too. Make sense? Yep. Lovely. Thank you.